Chapter 2. Arriving after dusk in Gorzom, Grinya descended down a dismal alley, reining his horse before a beaten tavern. The red-haired giant strode into the dimly lit hostelry, reeking of foul odors and cheap wine. The air was heavy with chalking fumes spewing from smoldering torches encased within the den's earthen-packed walls. Tables were clustered with groups of drunken thieves and cutthroats tossing dice or making love to willing prostitutes. Eyeing a slender female crouched alone at a nearby bench, Grinya advanced, wishing to wholesomely occupy his time. The flickering torches cast weird shafts of luminescence dancing over the half-naked harlot of his choice, her stringy orchid twines of hair swaying gracefully over the lithe, opaque nose, as she raised a half-drained mug to her pale red lips. Glancing upward, the alluring complexion noted the stalwart giant as he rapidly approached. A faint glimmer sparked from the pair of deep blue ovals of the amorous female as she motioned toward Grinya, enticing him to join her. The barbarian seated himself upon a stool at the wench's side, exposing his body, naked save for a loincloth brandishing a long steel broadsword, an iron-spiraled battle helmet, and a thick leather sandals to her unobstructed view.
"Thou hast need to occupy your time, barbarian?"
questioned the female.
"Only if something worth offering is within my reach,"
stated Grinya, as his hands crept to embrace the tempting female who welcomed them with open willingness.
"From where do you come, barbarian, and by what are you called?"
gasped the complying wench, as Grinya smothered her lips with the blazing touch of his flaming mouth. The engrossed titan ignored the queries of the inquisitive female, pulling her towards him and crushing her sagging nipples to his yearning chest. Without struggle, she gave in, winding her soft arms around the harshly bronzed hide of Grinya's corded shoulder blades, as his calloused hands caressed her firm, protruding busts.
"You make love well, wench,"
admitted Grinya as he reached for the vessel of potent wine his charge had been quaffing. A flying foot caught the mug Grinya had taken hold of, sending its blood-red contents sloshing over a flickering crescent, leashing tongues of bright orange flame to the foot-trodden floor.
"Remove yourself, sirrah! The wench belongs to me!"
blabbered a drunken soldier, too far consumed by the influences of his virile brew to take note of the superior size of his adversary. Grinya lithely bounded from the startled female, his face lit up to an ashen red ferocity, and eyes locked in a searing, feral blaze toward the swaying soldier.
"To hell with you, braggart!"
bellowed the angered accordion as he hefted his finely honed broadsword. The staggering soldier clumsily reached towards the pommel of his dangling sword, but before his hands ever touched the oaken hilt, a silvered flash was slicing the heavy air. The thews of the savage's lashing right arm bulged from the glistening bronzed hide as his blade bit deeply into the soldier's neck, loping off the confused head of his senseless tormentor. With a nauseating thud, the severed oval toppled to the floor as the segregated torso of Grinya's bovine antagonist swayed, then collapsed in a pool of swirled crimson. In the confusion, the soldier's fellows confronted Grinya with unsheathed cutlasses, directed toward the latter's scowling makeup.
"The slut should have picked his quarry more carefully,"
roared the victor in a mocking baritone growl, as he wiped his dripping blade on the prostrate form and returned it to its scabbard.
"The fool should have shown more prudence. However, you shall rue your actions while rotting in the pits,"
stated one of the sprawled soldier's comrades. Grinya's hand began to remove his blade from its leather housing, but retarded the motion in face of the blades waving before his face.
Dismiss your hand from the hilt, barbarian, or you shall find a foot of steel sheathed in your gizzard.
Grignard weighed his position, observing his plight, whereupon he took the soldier's advice as the only logical choice. To attempt to hack his way from his present predicament could only warrant certain death. He was of no mind to bring upon his own demise if an alternate path presented itself. The will to necessitate his life forced him to yield to the superior force, in hopes of a moment of carelessness later upon the part of his captors, in which he could effect a more plausible means of escape.
You may steady your arms. I will go without a struggle.
Your decision is a wise one, yet perhaps you would have been better off had you forced death.
The soldier's mouth wrinkled to a sadistic grin of knowing mirth as he prodded his prisoner on with his sword point. After an indiscriminate period of marching through slinking alleyways and dim moonlighted streets, the procession confronted a massive seraglio. The palace area was surrounded by an iron grating with a lush garden upon all sides. The group was admitted through the gilded gateway, and Grignard was led along a stone pathway bordered by plush vegetation lustfully enhanced by the moon's shimmering rays. Upon reaching the palace, the group was granted entrance, and after several minutes of explanation, led through several winding corridors to a richly draped chamber. Confronting the group was a short, stocky man seated upon a golden throne. Tapestries of richly draped regal blue silk covered all walls of the chamber, while the steps leading to the throne were plated with sparkling white ivory. The man upon the throne had a naked wench seated at each of his arms, and a trusted adviser seated in back of him. At each corner of the chamber a guard stood at attention, with upraised pikes supported in their hands, golden chainmail adorning their torsos, and barred helmets emitting scarlet plumes enshrouding their heads. The man rose from his throne to the dais surrounding it. His plush turquoise robe dangled loosely from his chunky frame. The soldiers surrounding Grignard fell to their knees with heads bowed to the stone masonry of the floor in fearful dignity to their sovereign, Lege.
Explain the purpose of this intrusion upon my chateau.
Your Serenity, resplendent in noble grandeur, we have brought this yokel before you,
the soldier gestured toward Grignard,
for the redress or your all-knowing wisdom in judgment regarding his fate.
Down on your knees, lout, and pay proper homage to your sovereign,
commanded the pudgy noble of Grignard.
By the surly beard of Mrefik, Grignard kneels to no man,
scowled the massive barbarian.
You dare to deal this blasphemous act to me? You are indeed brave, stranger, yet your valor smacks of foolishness.
I find you to be the only fool, sitting upon your pompous throne, enhancing the rolling flabs of your belly in the midst of your elaborate luxury and—
The soldier standing at Grignard's side smote him heavily in the face with the flat of his sword, cutting short the harsh words and knocking his battered helmet to the masonry with an echoing clang. The paunchy noble's sagging round face flushed suddenly pale, then pastily lit up to a lustrous cherry-red radiance. His lips trembled with malicious rage, while emitting a muffled sibilant gibberish. His sagging flabs rolled like a tub of upset jelly, then compressed as he sucked in his gut in an attempt to conceal his softness. The prince regained his statue, then spoke to the soldiers surrounding Grignard, his face conforming to an ugly expression of sadistic humor.
Take this uncouth heathen to the vault of misery, and be sure that his agonies are long and drawn out before death can release him.
As you wish, sire, your command shall be heeded immediately,
answered the soldier on the right of Grignard, as he stared into the barbarian's seemingly unaffected face. The adviser seated in the back of the noble slowly rose and advanced to the side of his master, motioning the wenches seated at his sides to remove themselves. He lowered his head and whispered to the noble,
Eminence, the punishment you have decreed will cause much misery to this scum. Yet it will last only a short time, then release him to a land beyond the sufferings of the human body. Why not mellow him in one of the subterranean vaults for a few days, then send him to life labor in one of your buried mines? To one such as he, a life spent in the confinement of the Stygian pits will be an infinitely more appropriate and lasting torture.
The noble cupped his drooping double chin in the folds of his briming palm, meditating for a moment upon the rationality of the counselor's words, then raised his shaggy brown eyebrows and turned toward the adviser, eyes aglow.
As always, Agathand, you speak with great wisdom. Your words ring of great knowledge concerning the nature of one such as he,
saith the king. The noble turned toward the prisoner with a noticeable shimmer reflecting in his frog-like eyes, and his lips contorting to a greasy grin.
I have decided to void my previous decree. The prisoner shall be removed to one of the palace's underground vaults. There he shall stay until I have decided that he has sufficiently simmered, whereupon he is to be allowed to spend the remainder of his days at labor in one of my mines.
Upon hearing this, Grinya realized that his fate would be far less merciful than death to one such as he, who is used to roaming the countryside at will. A life of confinement would be more than his mind and body could stand up to. This type of life would be immeasurably worse than death.
I shall never understand the ways of your twisted civilization. I simply defend my honor and am condemned to life confinement by a pig who sits on his royal ass wooing whores and knows nothing of the affairs of the land he imagines to rule.
Lectures Grinya.
Enough of this. Away with the slut before I lose my control.
Seeing the peril of his position, Grinya searched for an opening. Crushing Prudence to the sward, he ploughed into the soldier at his left arm, taking hold of his sword, and bounding to the dais, supporting the prince before the startled guards could regain their composure. Agathand leaped Grinya and his sire, but found a sword blade permeating the length of his ribs before he could loose his weapon. The counselor slumped to his knees as Grinya slid his crimsoned blade from Agathand's ribbed cage. The fat prince stood undulating in insurmountable fear before the edge of the fiery maned comet, his flabs of jellied blubber pulsating to and fro in ripples of flowing terror.
"Where's your wisdom and power now, your majesty?" growled Grinya.
The prince went rigid as Grinya discerned him glazing over his shoulder. He swerved to note the cause of the noble's attention, raised his sword over his head and prepared to leash a vicious downward cleft, but fell short as the haft of a steel-rimed pike clashed against his unguarded skull. Then blackness and solitude, silence enshrouding and ever peaceful reigned supreme.
"Before me, sirrah, before me, as always!"
nobly cackled